Anyway, one of the things that we learn about ourselves very early on in life is the ability that we have as human beings to be able to perceive the world around us. This ability to perceive the external world is primarily due to the sensory organs that we are born with. Now, traditionally, we talk about five senses, right? Anyone here remember what they are? What are the five senses that we have as human beings? We've got the sense of sight, touch, smell, hearing, and tasting. Okay, so they're the five senses that we have, traditionally speaking. The sense of sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. Now, virtually everything that we know about the world comes through those senses. Think about it. When we learn things, where do we get the information from? It comes into our brains through our eyes or our ears or through our nose, through our mouth and the tongue that does the tasting, and also through our body as it touches the environment around us. But it's not just our knowledge of the world that comes through those senses. Where does our knowledge of God come from? Now you might say, oh, I know about God because I've learned about God from Jesus. Well, that's true. But where does your knowledge of Jesus come from? Primarily comes from the Bible. That tells us about Jesus. It tells us about God. But how is it that we can know the content of the Bible? What do you have to do? You've got to use your eyes primarily when you're reading. Or if you're listening to it, you've got to use your ears, and all of that then channels into our brain. Now, thinking about it that way, it just goes to show that using our senses and using our brain is very important in the process of getting to know God better. And this is what we want to focus on today. What are we doing in order to get to know God better and to live eternally as a result of our knowledge of God? Now, growing up in the world, going to school, going to uni, then when people graduate, go off to work, start a family, it's very easy for us as human beings to lose sight of why we've been created. So, sorry to disappoint you if you reckon that you've been placed here for fun or fame or fortune. But that's not what God has created you for. Actually, God has created you for the ultimate purpose of knowing in great detail who He is. The Bible tells us that the creature has been created to know its creator. But how can we, in fact, know our creator? Well, this is where God's word and Jesus come into the knowledge equation. Because God is above and beyond this world, He needs to be able to communicate Himself to the world in a way that impacts upon our sensory organs. Now, while it's true that touch is very important for us humans in transferring knowledge, just think about it every time you use the keyboard on the computer, it's really touch that you're using there to communicate information. Now, we probably think too, smell and taste, they're probably less important in terms of the information that we have about the world around us. What are the important senses for us as human beings when it comes to knowing things? Primarily, it's sight and hearing, right? Now, you would expect, therefore, that if the Creator has created His creatures to get to know Him, then the Creator would primarily communicate Himself to His creatures using the channels of sight and hearing. That would make sense, right? He's designed us in such a way that sight and hearing is very important for us getting to know the world around us. Well, when God communicates, surely it makes sense that he would also make use of those senses that he has built into us. And friends, this is exactly how Jesus understood the situation. We are told that Jesus had been teaching the people of his day. He was speaking in their hearing, and he had been performing signs in their sight. The people's ears and eyes had been assaulted with the evidence about God, but sadly, many did not believe. And this, in fact, is the overall message of the first half of John's Gospel. The evidence was there. Jesus had been teaching. Jesus had been performing signs. But despite all of that, the people, many of them, didn't want to believe. But please notice the importance of Jesus in the Creator's plan to communicate the knowledge of himself to his creatures. In John chapter 12, verses 44 and 45, Jesus cries out in the people's hearing. And he said, "The one who believes in me doesn't believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. And the one who beholds me beholds the one who sent me." Can you see what Jesus is saying there? Believing in Jesus means accepting what he says. But more importantly than that, believing in Jesus actually equates to believing in God the Father, the one who sent Jesus. What we have is God the Father sending God the Son into the world. Now, why has God done that? Well, here we need to understand that ordinarily we can't see or know God, because God is above and beyond this world. In and of himself, God is above and beyond our sensory experience. But through Jesus, God, who in and of himself is invisible, well, he becomes visible. Through Jesus, God becomes observable. God the Father, who in himself is invisible and unknowable, well, he becomes visible and knowable through God the Son. You see how it works? In this way, we need to say that Jesus is the conduit of divine revelation. Jesus is God's chosen means of self-revelation. And friends, this is why Jesus and knowing him is so vitally important. In order for God the Father to reveal himself to sensory creatures, God the Father had to make himself sensible. In this way, not just logically, but physically, Jesus makes sense. He makes sense of God. God the Son is simply God the Father in sensible, perceivable, and knowable form. Seeing Jesus, we see none other than God himself. And friends, this is also why Jesus often portrays himself as light. The world was once covered in the darkness of human ignorance about God. But with the coming of Jesus into the world, the light of the truth about God has been revealed. This means that everyone who believes in Jesus receives the truth about God and no longer remains in darkness. Now, if it's true that Jesus is the light, Jesus is the one who reveals God the Father to the world, then it's also very, very important for each one of us to make sure that we are responding to that revelation that God has given us of himself through Jesus. Have you received the light that is in Jesus? And is it your desire to continue to walk on in the light? You see, the Creator has created all creatures to get to know their Creator. And the thing is, those creatures who remain in ignorance of their Creator will suffer the consequences because of their ignorance. They'll be judged. And a helpful way for us to think about this is to picture life here on earth. I know some of you who are students and who have to do exams probably don't like this, right? But we can picture life here on earth as preparation for an examination. Now, the examiner is God, and he has set himself as the examinable content. We are the examinees, the ones who have to do the exam. And the date of the final examination, well, we don't actually know the date precisely, but we are told that it will take place on the final day, otherwise known as the Day of Judgment. Now, if that is true, if there is an exam coming up, and if it is the case that we're going to be tested on our knowledge of God on that day, then the sensible thing to do is to use our time and energy here and now getting ready for that examination. We need to be using our time and energy here, using our sensory organs here, in a way that is going to be helping us to prepare for the coming exam. Notice what Jesus says in verses 47 and 48 about how it is that we can fail the exam. Now, you might think he would focus on, okay, what do you need to do to pass the exam? But actually, he focuses in on failing the exam. How is it that you can fail the test? Well, Jesus says, if anyone hears his words and does not keep them, basically, that's the person who's going to fail the exam. The person who hears Jesus' words but who doesn't keep them will be judged. Not primarily by Jesus per se, but by Jesus' words. Now here we can see that the examinable content for the exam consists of Jesus' words, Jesus' teaching. To pass the test and survive the day of judgment, we need to hear and keep his words. And friends, this means accepting what Jesus teaches and then living it out. Rejection of his teaching leads to judgment, but reception of his teaching means freedom from judgment, means passing the exam on the final day. So therefore, it's very, very important for us not only to hear Jesus' words, but to keep them as well. That is the key to passing the test when it comes. So, in the light of all of that, students, how have you been going in this regard? Have you been listening to Jesus and keeping his teaching? When it comes to hearing and studying, the question is, have you been setting aside time to do that? Now, to do well at their studies at university, for example, what does a student need to do normally? There's a lot of university students here. What do you need to do? Well, you need to study, but what does study comprise of, right? You need to... Well, you need to go to class. You need to go to lectures. You need to go to tutorials. You need to... Sadly, for those of you who don't like reading, you need to read the necessary books and also think about the course content. So when it comes to your studies in getting to know God better, how has it been? How are you going in that regard? How keen have you been to learn about God and his revelation? Have you been coming along to church regularly to listen to the lecture? Have you been making use of the Bible study tutorial groups? How about your own reading of the Bible, the primary source material? Or what about your engagement with other helpful secondary source materials like Christian books or movies or music? And if you've been getting sufficient input, have you then been spending the time that you need to in order to process the information and seek answers to any questions you have? We need to realize that God has given us lots of resources that we can use to get to know Him better. So let's make sure that we use them. Now, to finish off with today, please notice just how important the course content is that has been delivered to us by Jesus. Jesus warns us that whoever rejects his teaching will be condemned on the last day, the criteria being the words that Jesus has spoken and taught. But why is it that Jesus' words function as the criteria against which people will be judged on the day of judgment? Well, the answer is given for us in verses 49 and 50. Everything that Jesus has said and taught has been spoken, not because he wanted to say it, not just on his own authority, as if he made up what he wants to say. No, every single word that Jesus communicated, he spoke in obedience to the command that God the Father had given him previously. Now just think about that. What does that mean? That means that every word that Jesus uttered, every single thing that he said, he spoke all of that because God the Father commanded him to do so. Jesus, well, he's the lecturer, right? But the course content he teaches has actually been prepared by the head of the school, by none other than the Creator himself. So in this way, Jesus' words aren't just his words. Jesus' words are the very words that God the Father has given him to communicate to humanity. Just look at how Jesus puts it himself in verse 50. He says, I speak what I speak just as my Father has spoken. It's like Jesus has heard the course content already. He's heard the Father speaking it to him and he's transferring it to us, his students. Here we can see God's words are one. Whether it's God the Son or God the Father, it's the same content. Jesus' words and the Father's words are indistinguishable because God the Father is revealing himself through God the Son. Now, given what I've just shared with you here today, what do you think is the significance of what Jesus is saying here? Well, it's interesting that Jesus does have a focus on what we need in order to pass the exam and graduate into life eternal. And friends, the key is actually Jesus' teaching. And I reckon all of this makes sense. Like, what created life back in the beginning when the universe was made? What does the first chapter of the Bible tell us? What created life back then? It's the Word of God, right? God said, let there be light. Let the water above be distinguished from the water below. Let there be land and sea, and let it be filled with creatures. God spoke the world into existence. We can see quite clearly, therefore, that Genesis 1 tells us that the Word of God creates life. And friends, as it was back in the beginning with regard to physical life, so it is today with respect to life. To spiritual life. The Word of God gives life. God's revelation of himself through Jesus, when received into our hearts, makes us live eternally. And this is why Jesus says in verse 50 that the Father's command is eternal life. As Jesus speaks forth the word of the Father, those who hear and keep that word live forever because of the life-giving power inherent in God's word. It's exactly as the Apostle John once wrote in the opening verses of 1 John. He starts off that letter by saying, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have beheld and our hands have touched concerning the word of life." Notice how sensory he is right there. What we have heard, what we have seen, what we have observed, what even we have touched. The word of life, which is the life that has been revealed. And John goes on to say, the life which we have seen and testify and proclaim to you, the eternal life who was with the Father and who has been revealed to us. See what John is saying there? The eternal word of God who has been revealed, who has been heard, seen, and even touched. God the Father, insensible, imperceptible, unknowable in and of himself, is now, through God the Son, made sensible, perceivable, and knowable. Now, friends, if all of that is true, if God, our Creator, makes himself hearable, seeable, and even touchable in Christ, then let's make sure we use the senses that God has given us in order to get to know him better. You know, our eyes and ears are bombarded every day by thousands of messages that either tell us nothing about God or else tell us falsehoods about him. Don't let Christ's teaching be crowded out. Don't fill your senses with false information. Make sure you hear Christ's word and keep it, because that is the key to eternal life.